Well, yeah, no, like...
So just sitting here bullshit, yeah, Resident Evil.
So... See, I think they should redo 4, too.
They...
Because 4 was great. Like, don't get me wrong, 4 was fantastic, and, like, I love it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It still looked pretty good. It actually looked pretty decent for its time.
It still looks good with the PS4 release.
Oh, yeah, it still looks good with the PS4 release. But, you know, I think with the RE engine the way it is now...
They really, I don't know what brainchild was that came up with the fact that, hey, we need to lock a group of our programmers into a room. Don't feed them shit for 30 days and tell them to make a graphics engine.
I think it was, what's his name, the creator.
Because that RE engine is beautiful.
God, that's going to bother me. I can't think of his name now.
What is the RE engine built off of? I'm
not entirely sure. I knew at one point I knew, but I didn't know. I don't know now. Off the top of my head, but I know it's something.
The RE Engine is a gaming engine developed by Capcom, initially built for Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. It has since appeared in Devil May Cry 5 and the Resident Evil 2 remake.
What? That's why Devil May Cry 5 is looking so good.
The RE in the first two letters of the engine's full name stands for Reach for the Moon, which the logo appropriately... Okay, I thought the RE engine, Resident Evil.
No, yeah, I guess not, apparently. Reach for the Moon.
It's built off the MT framework.
Oh, but you know what the MT framework was, right?
I will find out.
Evil Within.
Was it?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that was because that was Tangle Software's, but I think it was made with the Lost Planet 2.
The MT framework is an exclusive 7th-gen game engine built to be all of Capcom's next generation for PS3 and 360. Dead Rising, Lost Planet, Devil May Cry 4, and Resident Evil 5. The MT stands for Multi-Thread or Meta Tools. Okay, so it's not really built off the MT engine.
Yeah, no.
Because... Yeah, I don't know. Like, because right here, unlike its predecessor, the MT framework, the RE engine includes a variety of new graphical and rendering techniques, such as subsurface scatters, dynamic shadows, FXAA, a bunch of techno jargon here. On the other hand, the RE engine enabled developers to have photorealistic rendering and realistic shading. Characters, clothing, and objects are scanned via 3D photo shoot.
Yeah, because that's what they're talking about with the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters... The actor who did Leon and the actor did Claire and all that, they actually did the little, like, 3D rendering of their faces.
Oh, they did mocap.
Yeah.
Nice.
If you look at the game, you can tell by the way their mouth moves and stuff. They did mocap for it.
Have you ever seen the Resident Evil 2 remake with the 500% facial animations?
Yes, that is so funny.
Fucking Leon walks into a room and he goes, with the whole exchange with the dude who's in the, Ben. Who's in the prison cell?
The one when Mr. X first appears and fucks his shit up.
I love that. He's like, I have this card. We've got to get out of here. And Leon goes,
yeah.
No, whole face fucking scrunches up.
That part, he made his entrance. Mr. X.
Oh,
made
yeah.
His entrance. He's just like,
dude, you know who I thought that was approaching though? When the guy was like, he's coming. We got to go.
Who?
I thought it was Birkin. I thought he was freaking out because mutated-ass Birkin was about to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the original PS1 version of Resident Evil 2, Leon never sees Mr. X until like, the lab, and I believe that's for, like, a quick second.
Yeah.
Like, you never actually fight him.
No.
Claire has a good battle with him, but Leon, I think, only sees him in an ice chamber or something. He's laying on a bed.
Yeah.
For him to be just that crazy-ass antagonist that's like, I'm up your ass. Go into that room. Stomp. I'm outside the room. What's good?
Well, that's the thing, too, and they say that. Like, because there's so many people, as I was watching the Red Brand, and I was watching other stuff, too, that other people play through, and they were trying to kill him like you can't. Not till a certain time. Not till,
You can stun him.
You can stun him, but don't waste your ammo. Just run away.
Yeah.
Because you're just, essentially, you're wasting ammo. Just run away, and if you dip into rooms, he'll lose track of you, and then he'll just start walking around again.
He's based off of sound, much like Lickers are.
Yep.
Like, he can visually see you, so if, like, he's on one end of the Great Hall and you're on the other, he will see to you,
yep.
Where a Licker won't. But if he's in a room adjacent to a hallway that you're in, and you hear him stomping around in there, if you, like, don't run, don't shoot, don't, like, just walk, he won't know, and he'll keep meandering.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's, they're the engine they have is there. It sounds like it's like a neural face system, like our bodies. It mm-hmm. learns. It starts learning as it goes.
Deep learning AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which a lot of people are like, well, that's because, you know, they watch too many movies and they think it's going to happen. And I'm like, you guys are dumb. It's not going to happen. But no, like, it's really great. And that's why I'm excited for the third one. And I hope it comes soon. Like, I hope they, E3, release something. And they're like, comes next year.
Oh, dude, I would be happy enough with just a video.
I want to see something.
Just a black screen and all you hear is,
stars.
I
think we'll see something at E3.
Or give us at least one render of Nemesis inside the RE engine and then have the sound bite where he says, stars.
Yeah, but I really do. I think we'll see. We'll hear something at E3. Especially if they've been working on it for quite some time.
Now, the best case scenario for E3 this year is Capcom says, oh yeah, so we are doing Resident Evil 3 Remake, and the one-shot demo's out today.
Yeah.
Have fun. 30 minutes on us.
There you go.
And it's like...
everybody go.
I'd be like, well, I'm done watching E3.
Yeah, that room will just be on a blaze. Like, oh. Everybody.
People pull out the razor blades.
That's exactly what would happen. And I can see Capcom doing some shit like that, because they've got demos and they've got playable stuff, I'm sure.
Alright, so you come out, you show off 3 in literally an almost complete fashion, you give us a 30-minute one-shot demo, and then you show us a 30-second teaser for 8.
Oh my god.
Can you imagine if that was their lineup? Like,
you know what happened? Capcom would take that show. They would take E3.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
I don't think there's anything in... Well, I mean, at this point, if, like, I don't know, Valve were to come out and say, Half-Life 3! But, I mean, that's never going to happen.
That's never going to happen. We all know that. And right. People who think it's going to happen, they need to get off that shit.
And the moment that Valve does decide, well, fuck, finally, maybe we should do this, and they make Half-Life 3, the game's going to be shit. Because it'll never live up to the hype machine that is Half-Life 3 confirmed!
Yeah. It was like Borderlands 3. You know, I mean,
That's still coming.
It's just, they announced it, and I'm hoping it's as good as the first two, but it's just the hype, they're building up to it, and...
Thank you for not recognizing the pre-sequel.
Oh, the pre-sequel is shit.
The pre-sequel is awful. It wasn't even made by Gearbox.
Number one, yeah. Number two, fucking, who wants to play as a stupid-ass annoying robot? Fucking, what's his name? I did not like him. He's got an annoying-ass voice.
His special was
amazing.
He's
cool, and his special was amazing.
Because it was random shit all the time. Like, everybody bounces for 30 seconds. I can't aim for shit.
So, do you think Resident Evil 8 is going to be a direct sequel of 7? Because, I mean, 7's not really... I know there's rumor that it's not canonical.
I think
they say that it sets before everything.
I think with 8, they're going to make 7 canonical.
Because I've been hearing rumors, too, doing a little more research, that 7 is possibly, like, before even 1. Like, it's set before everything.
It could be.
But that wouldn't make any sense, though, because with him coming in at the end.
Yeah.
Redfield. Because that means that mercenary group's already established.
Well, yeah, because he's got the blue umbrella logo.
And which means they didn't come till after 5 and all that stuff.
I think 7 takes place after the events of Umbrella falling. And
Because they still got their, like, weird, like, fucking not really zombie anymore. They're Lost Plagueis virus, kind of.
The mold.
Yeah, because it takes possession of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think what 8's going to explain... And all this is theory and speculation, but 8, I think 8's going to explain that the mold virus, or what Evelyn was, mm-hmm. that little girl.
Yep.
I think what she is she's the product of a competing company, much like Umbrella and Tri-Cell.
That makes sense, yeah, because another company is trying to come out to do what Umbrella did, but back.
Right.
Like in a lot of movies or in life, it actually happens.
Well, I mean, a lot of people say that Tri-Cell showed up. After Umbrella failed, and they did, but Tri-Cell is Umbrella rebranded.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yep.
But, I mean, what's to think that there isn't a competing company out there to Umbrella? I mean, there's always competition. I mean, you have Aperture, who was making portal technology, then you also had Black Mesa, which was making portal technology. You know, going back to the Half-Life thing.
Yep.
You know, Black Mesa was where Gordon Freeman was. Aperture was where GLaDOS and the fucking robots are.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always competition in industry and in research and all that. So it's not unheard of to think that there's another company that came up with a similar virus, but maybe it's a little fucky.
Yeah.
I mean, just like the T virus and the G virus, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think Evelyn and the mold and all that is a product of a competing company that lost control of their product. And I'm not quite sure if they explain it in the timeline of 7, but I think Evelyn was there for a while. Not because she's an old lady, because I know she ages
right
fast. Yeah. But I think she was with that family for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And more evidence of it being past Umbrella is, you know, when Chris shows up, he does have the UBS patch on. So he is working for
the
Umbrella Services, but it's not owned by Umbrella. They're like, yeah.
See, that was my assumption or my theory. When I seen that, I was like, yeah, another company probably bought out
the
remaining whatever shares of Umbrella or the name, and they're just like, you know, we're going to create our own monsters, or we're going to create our own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know how people would take to it, but, like, there's a theory I was running with. I was like, what if in A, there is a competing company and shit got out of hand, so they're like, fuck, and they called in Redfield, and they're like, dude, we need you to clean up this mess. Our shit's out of control.
That's very possible.
And because they know that Redfield's been through it all, you know, and maybe they'll hire Leon, too, and then those two will fucking go in together to... I mean, come on, we get to see Chris Redfield and Leon together again.
That'd be neat.
They've been in it since the beginning.
That'd be neat.
Yeah. Granted, Leon's really old now. I mean, he's a lot older than he was because, I mean, Resident Evil 2, he was a rookie, so I'm assuming they don't really say his age. I'm assuming he's probably in his early 20s.
We'll find out.
I mean, do they? I don't. But, because, I mean, essentially as a rookie, you got to at least be a 21 to be a cop, you know, to hold a pistol, at least in reality. And Chris is, I'm sure, a little bit older than Leon.
Leon Kennedy. Oh, he was born. Wow, we have a birth date for Leon Kennedy.
May 24th, 1977. All right, so...
Do
they give the timeline?
They just kind of give, like, his character timeline. So what do we got here? We got...
Well, I was born in 84, and I'm 30.
It's 42.
So he'd be around 42 then.
Yeah, if Resident Evil 8 were to take place in today, 2019...
In 2019, he'd be 40.
And they featured Leon Kennedy, he'd be 42.
So what would that leave with Chris then? Because I'm sure Chris was a little bit older than Leon, I'm assuming. I mean, they could be around the same age, but I would assume... Chris is a little bit older. He just seems like he's an older guy.
Chris was born... Oh, so we don't have a birth date for Chris Redfield?
Wait, really? Yeah. Was he created a test tube baby?
He's a Wesker child.
Yeah.
No, 1973.
Okay, so 77. So yeah, so he's a little bit older than Chris then, or Leon then, if it's 73. I was about to say 46.
Yeah.
So they're not too far apart in age, but still, I mean, yeah. So yeah, they're going to be getting up there then.
Dude.
They've been doing it for years, too, and they've been at it.
I don't know if it would be wise to use Chris and Leon in that manner, because then you would almost be looking at, like, a Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone,
you don't
bro
do
film.
That, and then it would just... A lot of bro... See, too, that, with that being said, too, a lot of that stuff ruins games. Because, like, you have Leon, who... They're friends. Chris and Leon are friends, but it's kind of like an unstable friendship. Because Leon went and worked for somebody else, and he's trying to protect people that Chris doesn't agree with.
Well, Leon went Secret Service...
Calling in 6, which... Yeah. That being said...
Yeah.
It is unfortunately canon. But...
Yep.
Unfortunately, like I said, 6 is canon, and...
That's another thing they could do with 8. They could take 8 and retcon a lot of stuff in 6.
That would be okay. I would be fine with that, because 6 is just... Because what, six, Leon's working for the president, or he's an agent.
He's Secret Service.
He's Secret Service.
And then he has to actually kill the president because it turns.
Yeah, because you see them encounter, you see him and Leon, him and Chris encounter each other for the first time, and Chris is ready to go ham on his ass. And yeah. He's like, oh. Literally, at that part, I really thought we were going to see a fight between Leon and Chris, and I was hoping for it. I was like, dude, this is going to be badass.
The unfortunate part, though, is I think Leon would have his ass handed to him because Chris
is a veteran. He's like
sticks for arms.
Yeah, that, and Chris is a veteran of all that shit, too. Chris has been going at it for quite a long time. And
I mean, he went from dorky, I'm a Stars member, Chris, beep, beep, to, yeah. Where's he at?
To right there.
Is that five? Yeah.
What's up, dude? I can't wipe my own ass. My arms are huge. Yeah, essentially, yo.
And then he got bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I didn't like his storyline in six because he was like this drunken fool and shit. And I was like, well, you're fucking...
Yeah, he was dealing with post-traumatic stress and this and that.
Because Chris is a hero to me. Like, I obviously, growing up, I loved Chris. Like, first one, he was the main antagonist. Well, if you chose him, he was the main protagonist of number one.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Jill, depending on who you play through. Which, again... Coming back to that, that's why I think they should do it with the new engine, because you know how you, in 2, you get to choose between Leon and fucking Claire. You do the same thing in number 1, you get to choose between Jill and Chris. They could change it up. You get different stuff.
Yeah, you could have scenario A be Chris, where it's just him and Wesker that make it into the building, and they have to find Barry and Jill and figure out what's going on in the house. And then you could have scenario B, which would be, like, infinitely more difficult, and that could be the Jill run, where she shows up at Barry and Wesker, and they have to find Chris.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it right, you blow up the mansion and kill Chris.
Yeah, exactly. You know what would be all right? Speaking of Barry, you know who I'd be okay with? Like, the guy who did the movie, reprising his role as his voice in mocap.
Oh, for the live-action movie?
For the films. Yeah. Because he actually did pretty good as Barry.
Yeah. The and dude from, was it Walk Hard or?
Yeah, Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
Yeah, the villain from, one of the villains from Walking Tall. Not the main one, but yeah.
That'd be cool.
The one who owned the truck.
But I feel like you need to bring back the guy that did Barry's voice.
You would have to.
From, not the PS1 copy, because let's face it. Whoa, you were almost a Jill sandwich.
Yeah.
That doesn't work in 2019. You bring back the guy from the GameCube remake. Because he worked.
Well, they could do that. The one guy, the actual actor could do from the films, could do all the mocap. Because, you know, he walks like him and he's tall enough. And then they've done it before where they had a voice actor and then somebody different did the mocap. They do it all the time, actually.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the other day I was watching some guy play Resident Evil 1 with an item lock key and enemy randomizer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, enemy placements were completely random. Like, if you went into a room thinking it was going to be a zombie or two zombies, you might walk into a room and there's, like, four tyrants. Like, this kind of shit happened. All the locks were randomized. So, like, doors that are normally unlocked right at the beginning of the game were suddenly locked by really hard keys that you couldn't get to, like, late game. You were getting keys for late game that you didn't need because you're in the early game. Like, it was really fucked up. And it got to the part where he's underground. He's fighting what's supposed to be Lisa Trevor in front of the mom's grave. And he has to push the statues off each corner and Barry's there. And it's right after Jill confronts Barry on his treachery because she thinks something's up. Mm-hmm. Which, at the time, there is something up.
Oh, yeah.
And so she takes Barry's gun. And then Lisa Trevor shows up in the cutscene. And Barry's like, give me back my gun. I'll help you. The guy was like straight up, nope, and didn't give it back to Barry. He dies, like right there. And then the enemy that was randomized for that boss fight was actually the Yawn. So instead of Lisa Trevor walking around slowly and swinging at you very slowly while you're pushing the statues off, no, he has to run around this one concrete square with a coffin in the middle with a big fucking snake chasing him. And there's parts, because the snake is so long, he can literally wrap himself around that before you have an opening. And he got wrapped up inside the snake for a second. He couldn't move for like 30 seconds because it just kept wrapping around him and biting him. And he couldn't get to the statues. I was like, oh, God.
See, with the new Resident Evil 2 remake, it makes me, I want to get a original PlayStation and stuff and play the original game.
Oh, one and two. And
one and two and all that stuff and three again. Like, I really want to play 3, knowing it's that the remake's coming. I really, really want to play 3.
I've never actually played Nemesis.
I've played Nemesis. I've not... That's literally the probably the only Resident Evil game I've not beat.
Is Nemesis?
3. Yep. I beat 1, 2, 4, 5, and all the rest.
I heard it's fucking hard.
It is. It's really fucking hard, especially when you gotta keep... When you gotta go after fucking... Or when Nemesis comes after you. Because it's the same thing like with Mr. X. There's really nothing you can really do right at first. Cause,
you just run.
Yeah.
Run or hide.
Yeah, because it's Nemesis, dude. It's like, we've seen him in, unfortunately, in the movies. Again, going back to that. But which he wasn't too bad in the movie.
No, he wasn't.
You know, they just brought him in at the wrong weird time. Kind of a weird way of bringing him in. Because, yeah. Like, he wasn't a human term. Yeah, it was more of a...
He was just a bioengineered weapon. He wasn't some love interest.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that was kind of weird, but...
And he had a hard-on for only Jill because there was a couple other STARS members that were in that film.
Yeah.
And he only wanted Jill.
Which he was created to take out every STARS member he sees.
Yep, and the reason why is because Umbrella was like, they were in the Spencer estate.
They need to be eliminated.
They need to be wiped out.
And that's what they created. They created that for that. And essentially, Nemesis got out of hand. You know, but... Yeah, no, that game was fucking hard. And so now it's making me wonder, like, what the fuck? How is this gonna go?
I can't imagine... Resident Evil, that's just... 3 is going to be a little nuts in that engine, because...
Yeah.
I mean, 2 is spooky. And I wasn't really scared by the PS1 version of 2.
2 is really dark. Like, in a lot of areas you walk in, you gotta always have a fucking flashlight and stuff like that. And that's why the remake is so good, is 2, the way it was, the way it was created, the way it was done, it wasn't really that scary because, you know, everything was lighted, it was the way they did it. And
the technology at the time, they didn't have the ability to set realistic lighting.
Right, yeah, exactly, which they do now.
Like, you walked into the police station in 2, and it's like, all the lights are on, no one's home.
Yeah.
Like, everything's lit up. Every room. I mean, there was one room, I think, the interrogation room, where you have to flip on the light, and as soon as you do, the maker pops through the glass window at you.
Right.
But other than that, all the lights are on. Like,
yeah, and that's why you're like, oh, cool.
And when you really think about it, after the collapse of a city, you know, power's not going to be really on.
No.
So you got to turn that shit back on.
Yeah, because you got to remember, because like, the whole city is just...
Yeah.
It's infected. It was released. Everything was just blown up. Mm-hmm. You know, shit's going... And their contingency plan was like...
Nuke it.
Eliminate everything. Nuke the fucking city, because we don't want to deal with this shit, and we need to, yeah.
Nuke this shit.
But yeah, no, 3, one thing I did like about 3, though, is when you were Jill, you had your fucking Magnum that you started off with, and she, like, automatically aimed at their heads and killed them. And I was like, cool. And that's another thing they did in 2, is, like, they don't fucking die. The zombies... You shoot them in their head, and you gotta shoot them multiple times before they officially are, like, done.
I don't think you're meant to kill the zombies.
I think they keep coming back.
I think you're meant to, like, cripple them, wound them, stun them.
Yeah.
And get around them.
Yep, that's essentially what it is they don't want you to be... Because they don't... I don't think they wanted to make it to where, oh, I killed everything in this house, so I'm good, I can run around free.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want to do that. They wanted them to be able to come back.
I think that's another glorious, or another genius thing they did. Not glorious, but genius thing they did was the board kits that you could put across some windows.
Yeah.
But they only gave you, like, 5. And there's, like, 40 windows. Mm-hmm. And they can break through, like, all of them. But, you know, certain ones, oh, no, you're not going to come through this fucking window. No, you're not going to come through this window. But you're still going to deal with zombies coming in. You can't stop them.
Well, I think once you put it up, you can't take them down.
Right
there.
Yeah. But then the zombie can literally just shift to the next window.
So has anybody, like, tested that theory, if they can break through the boards eventually? Or do they not know that? Because I always wondered that when I was watching the walkthroughs and stuff. I'm like, can they eventually break through the boards?
No, the ones that you board up, they can never break through.
Okay, yeah, so it's like a defensive... That's kind of like... Yeah, you're being overwhelmed, so we'll give you this. We'll give you this fucking board. You can have it chill out to where they're not coming through as much. But you're still going to fucking deal with shit, because it's Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
and we want to go back to the roots, and they're doing a great job of that.
I also loved how they kept it to when they were first introducing the liquors into the game. The first time Leon encounters a liquor, you actually see it through a window, but not the same window that Claire sees it through. He sees it through like a window up on like the third floor. I think you just dispatch a zombie or something, and you're walking down the end of this hallway, and all of a sudden you just see it like crawl across the fucking window, and he's like, "What the hell was that?" There's a part in Claire's run, and it's right off the main lobby. Like when she first gets into the main lobby, the RPD dispatches that zombie. She's like, "Hello, anyone here?" Zombie in the main hall. What the fuck? I don't know. But she walks into that room, like, if you're looking at the front door of the RPD, she walks right to the right through that one room where you have to power the gate up and get the lit room, not the dark one where the people die. She walks in there, and you walk around that thing, and there's, like, a bookcase, a window, and a door. Well, she walks in front of that window, the liquor goes, and she's like, "The fuck was that?"
You know, I remember playing Resident Evil 2 as a child, and I'd go to my cousin's house, and he'd have it, because I didn't have it at the time, and he had a surround sound system.
Oh!
So he's like, "Hey, you know what? We're going to play this in the complete darkness." Ah! Bad fucking idea. We were both shitting ourselves, because, like, we'd get to the part where we hear that. And I was like, "Oh, God, it's a fucking liquor." You'd hear that.
The never got me. What always got me was it would be dead silent in the room, and all of a sudden you'd hear...
Yeah.
And I was like,
"Oh God, no!" You're like, "Please, no, God, no!" Because you just know, and like, "Oh God, yeah, no." Just playing in the surrounds on a complete darkness is just that's what I'm saying is you get that original game where it's a completely different game engine, and it's still fucking scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like to this day, I'm sure if I went and did that, played in complete silence with surround sound or my headset on, I would freak the fuck out.
I was 6 when I first played RE1. And the very first zombie you ever encounter... The very first zombie you ever encounter... and by the way, my parents really didn't give a shit, because they knew I wasn't a psychopath, so I could play M-rated games.
I was the same way. My guardian dad, my foster dad, he was like the same way. He's like, "You know, it's not real. Go at it."
Yeah,
you know?
Like, that blood is squares. You're fine.
Yeah, you're good.
So, I the first time I played it, it was with my cousin, and it was late at night. And we do that opening cutscene where you walk into the main foyer of the mansion.
Yep.
And then you and, because we played as Jill, you and Barry go into the dining room. You're looking at the blood. Barry goes, "I hope this isn't Chris's blood." And then Jill hands that right and goes to that first door. And you're in that hallway. You hand the left. You go around the corner and there's that zombie who's chewing on another STARS member. And that's actually somebody who literally just died.
Yeah.
That whole cutscene where he just kind of cocks his head a little bit, then you see his eyes switch, like, shift to you, and he kind of groans. That, I couldn't sleep for a fucking month because of that cutscene. And I, forever, from then on out, even when I was, like, 16, I still had a hard time with that cutscene because it, like, scared me so much as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But, I just named him Mr. Nope. That particular zombie was Mr. Nope.
Yep, nope. Nope.
And, it, now when I play it, I just skip that cutscene. But man, when they put out that GameCube re-release of that game, and they actually put like facial animations and stuff on them, because before the zombies were just like kind of blocky, just, like, people blocky with square, really shitty bitmaps of faces. And then in the GameCube one, if you could somehow glitch him and he just kind of stood there, you could see his mouth going. It was like, oh man, that's creepy.
So now imagine that. In a remake.
RE engine. If they like, RE2'd it.
Oh, God. Because I'm going to just be like, oh, God.
I'd be like, no, I don't want to fight Mr. Nope.
I know. But, like, playing incomplete. And that's the thing is, like, a lot of these kids in these generations, I know a lot of people that have never picked up a Resident Evil game. And, like, a guy I work with, Austin, granted, I mean, he always says it's because I'm from the South and I had muddying and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, come on. I mean, I don't give a shit if you're from the South or the East or the West or the North. I mean, it's not because you're from there is why you didn't play video games. It's just maybe you just didn't have time or maybe you just didn't do it.
Or maybe he's just not into them.
Yeah, and because he doesn't even know what Resident Evil is.
What?
fuck? And I was like, Jesus Christ. But I tell him, I look at him, I'm like, dude, you need to pick up this remake if you ever get a game system. He's like, yeah? I'm like, yeah, dude. I'm like, but it won't mean as much to you as it will to me. Because, like, I grew up with this stuff. Like, Resident Evil is my shit, and it still is. I fucking love Resident Evil.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally one of the greatest game franchises ever created, horror-wise.
Your buddy is probably one of the only people where the Legendary Edition or the Ultimate Edition of RE2 Remake would make zero sense for him. Because he won't get any of the costume ideas.
Yep.
And he won't get any of that original music. He'll be like, why does this sound bad? It doesn't fit.
He would probably look at the game and get and like shut it off after playing it. Because he'd be like, this is, one, it looks dumb. And two, he's like, I can't get into it. I'm like, yeah. Well, okay, cool. I'm like, but you got to think. Back in the day when I was a kid, this was the graphics. This was like, oh my God. You know, and I still, granted, I do have a hard time with some remakes when they come out with a remake. And I have a hard time sometimes going back to the original.
Yeah.
Because they added something to it. Like, granted, with Resident Evil 2 Remake, that's a good example. It's going to kill the original. You know, straight up. Because everybody loves this new one so much, and it's over the shoulder, and it's fantastic, and it's just really well done. And the graphics, the game looks fantastic. It looks great.
The remake of Ratchet & Clank killed the original Ratchet & Clank. Because the remake is just fucking perfect.
Yeah, dude, the remake is fantastic, and that's because I played it too. Yeah, I played it as well, and I was like, dude, fuck the original.
Oh yeah,
I want this one, and it's like Spyro.
I haven't played the Reignited Trilogy.
I've heard it's fantastic, and that's why I'm like, well, that's why I'm kind of afraid to touch it.
Because you don't want to.
Ruin the original for me. Kill the original, but I want to play it because it's like the graphics are. You know, they did the same thing what they did with RE2.
Mm-hmm.
They built it.
See, that exact fear happened to me when I picked up the Crash Insane Trilogy.
Yeah, see, cause...
See, I cannot, I've tried, I have emulators, I have an original PS1, I can't go back and play the original Crash games because the Insane Trilogy was just to a T. Aside from the jumping mechanics of the first game that they kind of muffed up, other than that, it's perfect. Like, it legitimately is perfect. I wish you people would shut up, you're ruining my recording.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, no, and that's, I think that's a fear with everybody. Especially everybody in that caliber like us that has grown up with the games throughout the years. They've waited so anxiously when they heard 3's coming or 4's coming, and they got wind of it, and then 2 comes out, the remake, and they're just like, oh God, I don't want to play the original anymore because this is so good. But like I said, that's why I really want to play Resident Evil 3, the original, before remake comes out.
Oh yeah,
because then I know it'll.
I am.
But yeah, so.
Sorry about the phone ring there, guys.
Yeah, that was.
Right next to the microphone, too, so that's probably really loud.
Yeah,
it was
probably, like, really fucking loud now, so when. Yeah, it's.
I might want to remove that.
With 8, do you think they'll bring Wesker back? No. I mean, he's kind of an unkillable guy, if you think about it.
But. Wesker died. I mean, he was a. I mean, lava was above his head. Like he sank and he died.
Yeah.
If they bring him back, I'll be mad.
They don't really need to bring him back anyway, because I mean, if they really want, not that I want them to, they could. And I cringe when I say this. They could continue the story of Jake.
Oh.
Yeah, but I don't want them to. Like, if they really want it, because I know there's so many people, and I don't know why they're like, I love that story, and I'm like, why? I'm like, the only reason we know who that is because of the Wesker name.
Yeah,
and we don't find out till later on anyway, because he goes by the name of Jake Mueller.
Yeah. Honestly, I'd love to see because you saw it for just Jake's campaign, but. Do something with Sherry Birkin.
She's a main factor of everything, like especially number 2.
She's still carrying G in her.
Yeah, her dad was fucking who created himself into a monster, and her mother was there too. And you see him in. She's a major factor.
What is? I want to call him the Birkin Tyrant, but what is the name of William Birkin's monster?
I am not sure. I know that the tyrants are all, like, even Nemesis is considered a tyrant.
He is. He's tyrant class.
Those are the bigger ones, the almost unkillable ones. And that's what they call the tyrants. Yeah, I don't know. I just always called him Birkin.
The Birkin bag. Really?
Well, wow. That's
William Birkin. I don't want this dude's whole
bio.
He betrayed mutation. As he lay dying, Birkin used the last of his strength to remove a hypodermic syringe filled with the G virus from his lab coat pocket and inject himself with it. The virus saved his life as it rapidly healed his wounds, but mutated him into a savage, violent creature. The enraged mutant then proceeded to hunt down the USS operatives that stole his work, attacking them down in the Raccoon City sewers.
Which one was?
Hunk. Yep. The attaché containing the viral samples was broken open in the struggle, and Birkin, in his virus-fueled mania, ingested the G-virus samples. Oh, Jesus! So, okay... I didn't know that. So he shoots himself up, heals, becomes the mutant, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And then he kills that squad and then takes more G-Virus.
So he became super.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's probably what essentially ended up transforming him into that big-ass, like you said, vagina fucking monster-looking thing or whatever you want to call it.
As he attacked the USS operatives, he also shattered the vials containing the T-Virus. Mm-hmm. The T-Virus spilled into the sewers and would be carried up to the city above by rats, sparking the chain of events that would go down in history as the Raccoon City Destruction Incident. Alright, so they're not calling him a tyrant or anything. So, he's just William Birkin who was mutated.
So...
But I would count him as
a tyrant class. I was, from what my understanding is, a tyrant is anything major, like anything big. Any monster that's, like, huge.
Yeah.
That can't be, essentially, be taken out right away. So how's that play out, then? So Raccoon City's not completely destroyed, then, in number two. Right away. Because Birkin happens during number two.
Birkin is already a monster when you start to. So when Leon and Claire roll
into town... Oh, yeah, that's right, because it's a flashback on what happened. That's right, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's right, because Albert Wesker's with him. And then Albert Wesker walks away.
Yeah,
and leaves
then,
Birkin to himself.
And then that's when he sends in Ada, because he's like, well, Birkin's about to do something dumb. This place is about to become weird. I'm out.
And he's like, you need to get the virus and get out.
And Birkin was actually getting ready to betray everybody, because he was going to sell it to the United States Army.
Yep.
And that's when Umbrella was like, well, here goes USS. We'll send in the Umbrella Secret Service.
And then, which, speaking of that, you know, not a whole lot of people liked it, but I honestly liked Operation Raccoon City.
The game mechanics, I hear, were, like, clunky.
They were really clunky, because it's a squad-based shooter.
But the story...
The story was great.
Great, yeah.
The story was fantastic. Like, I would be okay with a remake of that if they did it right.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to play as Umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to play as the operatives. And I hate to say it because I love him so much, but you got to choose to kill Leon.
Yeah. Yeah, you could kill Leon and Claire.
Yeah. You execute them and take the fucking virus for yourself.
Yeah.
Or you could betray Umbrella and protect them.
Mm-hmm. Neat thing about Operation Raccoon City, and I hate that it came out so long after 1, 2, and 3, but it takes place before 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's them, that, I mean, Birkin sends off the email to the United States government, and Umbrella, watching all of the traffic on their network, goes, what the fuck?
I mean, Birkin, come on, you should know that fucking Umbrella's monitoring your every move.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like any organization you work for like that.
Right. And then Umbrella's only response was, well, it's become painfully clear that you've claimed G as your own pet project.
So
here's, we're going to take our funding. You don't get funding anymore, so you... And we're going to come in and take back our intellectual property. We'll see you in about 30 seconds.
Yep, we're sending in the team.
Ago.
Yeah, and then...
I mean, William ingests G, like, before 3 even happens.
Yeah,
and then while USS is in Raccoon City, that's when they send a Nemesis to take out the STARS members. And that's when 3 happens, and then 2 happens where you fight Burke.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Because I started thinking about that, and I forgot that was a flashback when I was watching everything. I was like, oh yeah, that's right, that's a flashback. And I think they did an anime movie about it, too.
They did.
Where he showed the Birkin story and stuff, and him, yeah.
And I've heard there's a theory that the G-virus mutates you based off of your emotions at the time. And, shut up! And, there's this stupid theory that, William was actually a good guy. No, he was selling his viral weaponry to the United States military. The United States military would have done horrible, horrible things.
Oh, yeah, they would have created a whole army.
Yeah.
to take over the world.
I mean, either way, you're looking at global extinction. With Umbrella having the virus, you're looking at global extinction, but on a corporate scale. Like, they wanted to do it for money. The United States Army would have been like, let's take over the fucking world.
Hey, guess what? We could take out every other country and we could be number one.
And then the creations would have turned on him and killed us.
It would have been like them Hitler over again. And essentially, it would have been Hitler, but then all the creations would have turned around and
killed him.
Yeah.
And then we'd be dead. That's it. Goodbye, world.
At least with Umbrella, they had a contingency plan.
Yeah.
Set in place, which was
blow up wherever the fucking thing was, yeah.
Yeah, and their operatives to go in to get all the little shit out, get the last remaining viruses, and then blow up the city. Which, that's one thing I am glad about in the movie, they did touch on that. Because you've seen them at the wall. I don't know what movie it was, but they're standing at the wall. Two. Yeah, two. Yep, that's what it was, too. And then they're like, yeah, and fucking Alice, wherever the fuck. And she was like, oh, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah. I understand why they did it. Like, a lot of people are like, you're evil. I'm like, no, I get it. I totally get why they're doing it, because they have to contain it. They don't want it to go and destroy everything.
For sure.
Unfortunately, people would have to die. Innocent people would probably die in the whole thing of it, you know?
Dude, the moment that guard looks down at the ground, and I'll say the first 3 Resident Evil films were pretty solid. They didn't really fit in with the story of the games that had been laid out. But they were pretty solid games. Yeah. Or it was pretty solid movies. But there's a scene in the second film. I think it's Aftermath or
Resident Evil. Afterlife.
Afterlife, no? Whatever the second one's called.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Let me look it up here.
Apocalypse?
That!
It was Apocalypse, yeah. Resident Evil and Resident Evil Apocalypse. Then I think Afterlife came after Apocalypse.
Apocalypse, yep. You're right. Apocalypse, Extinction, Afterlife, Retribution, and then the final chapter.
Yeah.
But Apocalypse, there's a scene where there's a guard standing on the wall on the bridge that leads into Raccoon City. And that's great. There's a bridge that separates, because Raccoon City is essentially on like an island or like an inlet almost.
It's like Gotham City or New York, essentially.
And
connected.
The bridge is barricaded like on the other side. Right as, like, you're leaving town. Mm-hmm. So the whole bridge is, like, filled with cars and people. And a guard looks down, and he sees a normal, everyday person. And he just starts coughing and gagging. He collapses to the ground and gets back up and starts eating people. And he's like, it's here! Shut everything down! And they close the gate, and that's already too late. Because if that guy's coughing, he's got it. So the people you just let through, they got it, too.
Yep.
But he makes the right call. He's like, you know, shut the gate, and we gotta start terminating. And I think they just open fire.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's they get the fuck away. They just start firing, I guess, because people are trying to get through, and they're like, no.
No, and that guy's already eating people, so you're all expendable at this point.
I remember, like, watching it with one of my friends, and they're just like, what a bunch of assholes. I'm like, no. I looked at them, I'm like, no, dude, you gotta understand their viewpoint and their stand, where they stand in this. It's like, nowadays, it's like, if anything like that ever happened, the government's going to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to quarantine that city, and they're going to nuke it.
I mean,
because they're going to do what they have to save the rest of the world.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to exhaust every other option that they can to try to contain it or cure it. But if it looks like it's going to spread beyond the borders of that town and hurt more people,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what's one city you know, a couple hundred thousand lives. That sounds awful.
I did.
But what is a couple hundred thousand lives versus a couple billion lives?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, nuke the fucking town.
Yeah, it may sound awful. Yeah, it does. But it's either that or for the greater good.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what it is.
Do you want mankind to survive another day?
Yeah. If not, cool, then let them go.
Because, I mean, have you not seen Dawn of the Dead? That virus spread quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's essentially the same thing. See, like, watching the remake, too, I noticed that. And I remember hearing, what's his name? The cop that Leon first encounters.
Marvin.
I don't think Marvin ever called him it, but I noticed that Leon started calling them zombies right away.
Yeah, no, he,
And I'm like, where'd the name come from? Like, how do they, like, there's some things I wonder about, because I'm like...
That's actually been explained. Resident Evil takes place in a universe, much like ours, where we have, I mean, the dead films all exist in that world.
Unlike The Walking Dead, where they don't. Yeah, that's why they call them walkers and biters and stuff, because that universe, there are no such thing as zombie films.
Yeah.
You know?
That nobody ever thought, like, hey, what if the dead reanimated and wanted to eat people? Like, but in the Resident Evil universe, like, George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, that exists.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they actually explained, oh, okay.
Yeah, so, see, like, I didn't know that. The dead films, like, so the theory, the concept that of zombies sense, exists in that universe. And while... Well, no, they do. They fit it to a T. So all of the T virus mutants, because that's essentially what they are. Mm-hmm. They're zombies, except for like the hunters in Plant 42 and the spiders and the moth and the yawn. Those aren't zombies. Those are just mutated alive organisms. Yeah.
Like, well, no, because aren't the lickers actually weren't they humans?
They were, and they were exposed to an early form of the G virus.
Yeah, I was saying, so they, technically they are zombies then.
But they're like highly mutated.
They're just like mutated.
Yeah. And they no longer have eyes.
Yeah.
And their brain really doesn't do anything. You can shoot them in that fucking thing all day long.
But like Nemesis wouldn't be really considered.
He's like pieces parts of other people put together and then mutated.
Yeah, that's why you see his face weird and
And Nemesis is actually an early prototype of the Mr. X program.
Mm-hmm.
And Nemesis is a... and the tyrant that's in the Spencer estate is an early prototype of what Nemesis was going to be. So, like, they were working on that shit for a while. They've been working on that shit since they stumbled into Africa and found the flower.
Yeah. Which I'm glad that... With 5, they did that. They showed you the original site.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go down underground.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see the flowers.
If you look around that progenitor, the progenitor flower site, or the progenitus flower, whatever they call it.
Progenitor, yeah.
If you're looking around that site, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of tricell stuff there.
Yep, because tricell took over.
But if you go into a couple of the tents, there's like old school pre-Spencer Estate, like umbrella stuff there. Mm-hmm. Like you see the umbrella logo.
Yeah. There are containers with the umbrella logo on them still. And...
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were rusted and they've been there for a while. So, and what's funny is the original team that was doing that was the original founders of Umbrella. Like Spencer and... God, I screw this up all the time.
It's those three guys.
Yeah. Three
Spencer,
founders.
Spencer. What's his other name? Yeah.
I'm the Google monkey for this podcast. So we have Oswald Spencer, James Marcus, and Edward Ashford.
That's what it is.
Those three
Ashford,
guys.
Yeah, because Ashford, it explains that he used the virus on his kids.
He actually didn't have kids.
Well, he created or whatever. Yeah.
His wife was dying, and he made two clones, a male and a female.
Created them, yeah, and then he... genetically altered them,
mm-hmm.
and he used that as a test. He used them as test subjects.
Yeah, he injected the Code Veronica virus into the daughter, but the daughter was, I mean, at the time the virus was really unstable, so he just put her in like a cryogenic sleep while the virus worked with her body, and then when she came to, she would have full control over those powers, and that fight with Alexia Trevor, or not Trevor, Alexia Ashford. Oh my god. Like, she's insane. She can, like, bring up fireballs. Like, her whole arm, like, lights on fire. She could just cut swaths of fire. She could extend limbs out.
I think that's what they're trying to base Alice for the movies on.
Alexia?
Yeah, in a sense. Because she's supposed to be, Alexia's this literally unstoppable fucking, like, superhero, essentially.
But then they really ruined it.
Yeah. Then they destroyed it. Cold Chronic X was a really good game, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Dreamcast and the PS2. Yeah, yeah, it was great. Yeah,
it was a really great game. Because I was, again, with Claire.
Mm-hmm. Claire and there's,
That one guy.
No, there's a brief stint where he plays Chris.
Oh, there is, yeah, because Chris is looking for Claire.
Yeah, towards the end he shows up
on the island where they're at, because she gets put in prison, because it's owned by Umbrella.
Yeah. It's in Alaska, I think it is.
Yeah, something Arctic, like that. And then, yeah, Chris finally, because I did beat that one, and Chris actually shows up. Yeah,
yeah, the end of it is Claire and Chris and Harry are running away from Wesker, and Wesker's like, no, I'm going to shoot you down.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they crash into that prison thing. Not prison, they crash into a lab. And then there's like a whole back half of the game that you got to play there.
Mm-hmm.
With Chris and Claire. That was cool. You had brother and sister team up, and I think that's the only game where they meet, team up, and that's it.
Mm. Yeah.
And then she's back to, Chris, my brother!
Chris! Yeah. Are they twins?
Claire and Chris?
Yeah.
I think Claire is the younger sister.
Okay. No, I always thought they were twins. I didn't know if they were just, like, not identical, but fraternal.
Oh, they could be. Let me find out.
Yeah, because I didn't know. They just seemed like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, they're probably not. Claire's probably younger, I'm sure.
Claire is the younger sister of Chris.
Okay, yep.
Yep. I could go to the fandom wiki here and bring up her date of birth.
She's probably a little bit younger.
Yeah, she was born in 79. Wow.
Wow, she's quite a bit younger than
way younger than
yeah. So when he was, wow, yeah. So he'd have been an adult. She is just a child, essentially.
A teen.
Teenager.
He'd be a teen, she'd be a baby. Like, I think he was turning nine or eight when she was born.
So I wonder how old she was in Resident Evil 2.
Wow, well, how old would she, well, 70, what, 73 or 76 that she was born? 79 she was born?
Yeah. All right, Chris was 76.
So you got
72.
1998 minus 1979. She was 19. She was 19 when she wandered into Raccoon City.
Looking for her brother, Chris.
And at that point, both their parents were already dead.
Yep. Yeah, because he talked about parents dying. Yeah, because the mansion's on the outskirts of Raccoon City.
Yeah, it's in the Arklay Mountains.
Yeah, you know, Arklay Mountains right there. Yeah, because that's where he goes missing at.
And that first game, lore-wise, they really had to retcon a bunch of stuff for the other games.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back and play the original PS1 cut of Resident Evil 1. I don't know why I almost said Command and Conquer. But if you go back and play the original cut of Resident Evil 1, there it shows you like newspaper clippings
mm-hmm.
of like reports of people being attacked and eaten on mountain trail, reports of cannibalism in the Arklay Mountains.
Yeah, yep.
And it's like,
I remember.
And then when you play through the mansion, it's almost like they didn't think about that opening cutscene before you play through the game. Because when you play through it, you find out that it's a bioweapon, there was an outbreak, and nothing has really escaped the mansion yet except for the dogs. I mean, you don't know that there was a whole train incident with the dogs and all that. Because Resident Evil Zero didn't happen yet.
Yeah.
So.
God, those dogs.
Oh, yeah, Cerberus?
Watching them. Just the gameplay.
They made them terrifying in this remake, dude. Like,
dude, there's so many of them, too.
And they straight just jump over cars at you. Like, they don't path around the car. They're, like, over the car.
Red was playing it, and he's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not gonna shoot him. I'm just going to run around. He's like, yeah, that was a bad idea. Because they followed him everywhere, and then they all of a sudden they started cornering him, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, yeah. I know you want to save ammo, bro, but...
There was a part, I was watching 8-Bit Ryan play through Leon's first run, and he got down into the prison. He had both electrical parts, and he opens up the guy's cell, and he gets the paper and the notes and all that, and he's like, that's weird. There's a bunch of healing items in here. There was like 2 green herbs and a first aid spray. And that guy's selling, he's like, there's something going to be happening here. And he had already went through the jail, and he shot every zombie that was in a cell that he couldn't get to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he killed all of them. They were all down. And he's like, that's weird. I don't understand why they give me so many healing items. And, we only have 5 minutes? So we're only allowed to record 60 minutes at a time.
Oh, okay.
So we got 5 minutes left. And then we can... Literally, I can just piece these two together, but
yeah.
We'll hit record again. Anyway, so yeah, he hits the switch, opens the cells, and he's like, all right, easy peasy, now I can just get a bunch of items. He comes around that corner, and there's like 20 zombies there, and he's like, what? And so he's like, I don't have the ammo to deal with this. I have 5 shots.
Mm-hmm.
He balls his way through, like, this group of zombies. Like, he's dodging and ducking and weaving. He's not getting grabbed. And he's like, oh, there's only one left. And he dips by him. And as he's coming towards the entrance, Mr. X comes around the corner. And he's just like, I'm done. He pauses the game, throws his headset down. He walks away from his monitor. And he's just like, I can't... He unpauses the game. Mr. X smacks him in the face, throws him back across the group of zombies.
Oh, no.
And he has to get back across this group of zombies, and now Mr. X, who's plowing his way through the zombies.
That's he's brutal, dude. Like, that's what makes the new fucking remake just... God, dude. Like, because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original one, there wasn't... There was a lot, but they weren't all, like, in bunches like that.
Right.
Because they couldn't really do that. With the game engine they had.
And the hardware, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the PS1, for God's sakes, only had, like, 4 megs of memory, maybe 8 megs of memory. And so, like, you know, to render 5 enemies on screen, that was a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a couple, I mean, there's a, right at the beginning of the game, when the truck explodes, there's fire everywhere. If you look at it, I think there's only, like, 5. But because of, like, some camera tricks and lighting that they had that they could do with... They made those 5 zombies look like there was, like, a whole fucking horde around you. But when you really think about it, in that opening street on the PS1, there's 5 zombies.
Yeah.
Then you just gotta...
Yep. You just run around and... Which... It's hard to deal with because you got the tank controls and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, those controls, man.
Hold up, press square, run.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I ran right into them. But, yeah, dude. All right, so I'm going to pause this, or I'm going to stop it. This might be the end of the recording entirely. This is just an untitled podcast project that I'm doing. No name or anything of us untitled. If there's any more on the back end of this, that's because I figured out how to piece these two together. If not, look for a second episode of the untitled podcast project where we talk about more games. This is Alan and
Jason
saying peace.
Peace out.